Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim. Welcome back.
Thank you. Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
It's good to be back. Thanks for everybody for listening to AFR. Hey, just a note, we will obviously not be here tomorrow live. We've got a couple specials lined up. Brent, you want to tell us what Brent Creeley, our producer, what's on tap for tomorrow?
Tomorrow from 10 to 11 Central, we'll have an In Grace radio special, Thanksgiving special. And then from 11 to 11:30 is Dr. Ray Pritchard radio special.
Okay, so we won't be here tomorrow like you. We'll be celebrating Thanksgiving Day with our families. We will be back here live Friday for Trivia Friday. So Ed and JJ and yours truly will be here Friday for Learning University. All right. But, yeah, good to be back. My wife and I, Allison, we went down to the beach for a few days Saturday.
Beautiful Destin.
Yeah, Destin, Florida, just stunningly. The beaches were beautiful, and the weather was 75. And
perfect.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
I can leave now and make it there, buddy.
Yeah, I know, right? A lot of folks saw a lot of tags from the Midwest. And a lot of folks come down for Thanksgiving, you know, to escape the cool weather. Maybe not cold weather, but cool weather. And
I've been to Destin like end of January, February.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin and Minnesota tags.
Snowbirds.
Yeah. For them, you know.
Oh, yeah. 60 degree days are like balmy. Huh? When you're used to the high being 22.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, everything's relative.
Talking about the Midwest there, channeling my inner brother Ray Pritchard, the high tomorrow for him is going to be somewhere around 37. I could understand
Kansas City, yeah.
I could understand why some people would be in, the Gulf.
Yep. Well, anyway, hey, by the way, went to Honey Baked Ham. Here in town where we live in Tupelo.
Yeah.
So I went there an hour and a half ago. I was going to beat the crowd because they open at 9. Because it's a honey-do list. Honey baked ham. It's my honey-do list. See what I did
Make
there?
Make sure you get one.
Yeah. So I went there at 9. Quarter to 9. I thought, I'll beat everybody.
Nope.
I'll be the first one here and outsmart everybody. Nope. There's a line of 15 people already there. So I started calculating. All right, but I'm going to say 5 minutes a person, okay? Because that's probably what it's going to take. Am I right?
Yep.
Because you got to tell the cashier what you ordered, then they got to go get it, then they got to ring you up, and then you say, oh, yeah. Some guy says, oh, yeah, throw me some potato salad. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So I figured 5, 10, 15 times 5, what is that?
That's 75.
Yeah, I don't have an hour to sit here and wait, so I might have to go back.
And you were near one of our many train crossings in the micropolitan that is Tupelo.
Oh, yeah.
I was at a business next to Honey Ham yesterday.
Yeah.
And I told my wife this. It was like Grand Central Station.
Yeah.
You know, it was just the parking lot was full. People were flowing in.
Yeah. Well, we like, you know, sometimes do your own turkey and so forth, but Honey Baked Ham, I know we're giving them free advertising, but they're hard to beat.
Lots of people love them.
Yeah, Honey Baked Ham and their turkey, too, is outstanding.
Yeah.
All right, so everybody's getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. We're going to talk to Stephen McDowell, president of the Providence Foundation, as we do most years. And we'll talk to Stephen about the history of Thanksgiving Day celebration here in the U.S. of A. So that's coming up in just a little bit. Didn't you tell me you had Thanksgiving Day in Canada already?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a month ago or so?
Yes, in early October, Monday in October.
Gotcha.
So you're working tomorrow then, right?
Because I have an American wife.
Right.
So we get to celebrate American Thanksgiving as well.
All right. Well, Chris, what's the first thing happening in the news right now?
I want to direct everybody's attention to some breaking news that Fred Jackson just posted on AFN.net. It's from the great state of Ohio, where Republican Governor Mike DeWine has signed a bill that says students from kindergarten through college at the state's public and private schools must use bathrooms designated by their biological sex. This is the Protect All Students Act, and it's one of those issues where men and women claimed it was a privacy issue. They didn't want to have to use the same restroom as somebody from the opposite sex claiming they were something other than they were born with. So Ohio is the new battleground state when it comes to bathrooms. And, of course, this comes after news on the federal level where Representative Nancy Mace has been wanting members of Congress to use certain bathrooms.
Can't believe we're even having to talk about this.
I know. I never thought I would talk about this when I started here.
Well, the insanity of what's been going on out there. And that's what it's insane.
I think there's a reaction, though.
Oh, yeah.
There's a reaction. There's a
yes.
The other way.
Well, and it's across the political spectrum, too,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of it has to do, of course, bathroom use. What young lady wants some guy coming in?
Right.
You know, but also the sports issue mm-hmm. has really elevated the debate. Yeah. Guys claiming to be girls on girls' sports teams.
Yeah. And that's a loser for the Democrats.
It is.
And that showed up in the election results.
I believe it did.
Yeah, I believe it did too.
Yeah,
I don't know. Let's just say it affected 1% of the voters. That was enough to make a big difference across the country. 1 or 2% of the voters. Although I think it had more. The whole woke, the backlash to the woke stuff, including the push for boys and girls sports.
Yeah,
and boys who call themselves girls, who are boys playing. Girls' athletics and going to their changing rooms and restrooms and being on the bus, all that stuff. People are saying, no, that's a bridge too far. Even liberals are saying that's a bridge too far. We're not accepting that. So this is good news out of Ohio. Of course, North Carolina did that a few years ago. Remember? And the whole all the left and Hollywood came down on them.
Target.
Target did it too, yeah. But anyway. Well, good for Ohio. What they've said is, so they passed it. Mike DeWine, the governor, signed it?
Yes.
Signed it. Okay, it's a done deal then.
And yes. We do already have some reaction. Aaron Baer, president of the Center for Christian Virtue, for example, told us, common sense is on a winning streak in America today. No student should be forced to go into the bathroom or locker room with a student of the opposite sex.
Right.
And Ohio's kids are better protected now because of Governor DeWine's decision to sign this bill.
Well, good for the legislature.
Yes.
There in the Buckeye State, and good for Mike DeWine, the governor, for signing that. By the way, has there been any announcement about who he will appoint to take J.D. Vance's place in the Senate?
I have not seen anything, nope. But I'm going to Google it for nope. you.
A lot of people were speculating about Vivek Ramaswamy, but he's going to be busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. And Elon Musk are teaming up. I can hardly wait. Can hardly wait when they go to work on downsizing the government.
Yeah.
There is going to be, as we say in the hockey world, a Donnybrook mm-hmm. going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're already talking about what they want to do. Elon Musk is already talking about, hey, we've got buildings in Washington, D.C. that are 80% empty because people are allegedly working from home.
Yeah.
And this has got to stop. It's got to. It's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And so you wait until he, which is what he, when he purchased and what is now X, he made people, you know, we're going to make people come to work.
Yeah.
And wait till that happens.
So he and Vivek Ramaswamy are working on that, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On that government waste committee. Go ahead.
Yeah. They wrote an op-ed last week in Wall Street Journal. They said they're going to start with executive branch regulations. Therefore, they didn't have to go through Congress. A lot of people don't realize this, but Congress has really delegated a lot of decision-making and authority, even financial decisions, to the executive branch.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Ramaswamy and Musk are of the opinion that we can start there. We don't have to worry about Congress, and we can really go to the president with, here's what you need to get rid of day one in the first 100 days, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very busy between Inauguration Day and around Easter. For these two fellows.
Okay, you got two Senate seats that are going to have to be replaced that are Republican. J.D. Vance is the VP, so he's given up his Ohio Senate seat. So the governor there, a Republican, DeWine will have to replace him. And then Marco Rubio, who is the who will be the new Secretary of State. He's the senator from Florida, so Governor DeSantis from Florida will have to replace him.
Yes.
So that'll have to take place soon because the new session will start in January.
Yeah. Yep.
So that'll be interesting to see how that works out, because I was thinking, well, maybe DeSantis, the governor from Florida, maybe he will be a, maybe he wants that Senate seat, but he, but he's a sitting governor, so and he's got 2 years left. So maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I don't have any inside information.
He'll pick a good conservative.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I wonder if he'll pick a conservative to stay there for 2 years to replace Rubio, and then DeSantis himself will run for Senate in Florida. Perhaps that could happen.
That's a possibility. Yeah.
Perhaps that could happen.
Yep.
But anyway, okay. The other big news internationally is that Hezbollah, the terrorist organization in Lebanon, north of Israel, and the Israeli government have agreed to a ceasefire. Is that right, Chris?
Yes. And you can also read this on our website, AFN.net. I've already posted this link on our Facebook page, so listeners need to check that out. Today's issues on Facebook. Israel and Lebanon-based Hezbollah terrorists began a ceasefire in a major step toward ending nearly 14 months of fighting, as a region on edge wondered whether it will hold. The ironic situation here is that in the story Fred posted on AFN.net, it says some celebratory gunshots could be heard celebrating the ceasefire. I just found that kind of funny. But apparently they're in Beirut's southern suburbs. They're excited about this. President Biden has already weighed in on this. He did say things like, let's be clear, Israel did not launch this war. The Lebanese people did not seek that war either, nor did the U.S. So the Biden administration is celebrating this and thanking France, because apparently the president of France, Mr. Macron, was an assistant on this peace accord.
And we must add quickly, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel has said, if Hezbollah breaks this ceasefire, Israel will go back in full force.
Yeah.
He's not going to put up with this anymore.
Well, okay, my opinion is the reason we have Hezbollah. You ever play, remember when we were kids and you played the game Uncle with your big brother or your cousin, and they were bigger than you, and they twisted your arm behind your back until you cried?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Uncle?
Yes.
Well, Hezbollah is crying uncle because Israel has come down on them unmercifully.
Yeah.
Because Hezbollah, you know, was a constant threat and bombing, sending missiles into northern Israel, and people who are Israeli citizens were displaced for months and months, and Israel just had it.
Yep.
And they were just saying, all right, we're going to go find these people wherever they are, and if they're living in Lebanon in civilian populations, we'll have to go find them there too, and if, you know, we're going to do whatever it takes. And you remember, what was it, about 6 weeks ago when Israelis figured out a way to set off the cell phones?
Pagers.
The pagers?
Yes.
Of Hezbollah?
Yes. They Hezbollah purchased the pagers from, they didn't know it, from an Israeli company.
Yeah.
Israeli-owned company.
Right, and they put some kind of explosives inside the pagers.
Yes.
Yep.
And then the next day they made the cell phones go off, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
That affected
them. And I mean, that was like after
Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible stuff here.
Talk about an intimidation factor.
That was after a terrorist leader or high-ranking official in some terrorist group died in a bombing, because apparently Israel had planted a bomb inside the wall like months earlier.
Yeah.
And just happened to know that that guy was in that room at that time.
Well, what Israel doesn't need to let happen, and they won't, is they don't need to let a ceasefire only give Hezbollah time to reorganize and rearm, and then they're back at it again.
Yes.
So I'm sure Israel will be monitoring that.
Mm-hmm.
And if did you just say the French president was involved?
Yes.
Macron?
According to Biden.
Okay. So, listen, there's three parties. Well, there's in Lebanon. Lebanon, for those who don't know, I don't mean to sound like I'm explaining this to a child, but Lebanon is the country immediately to the north of Israel, also on the Mediterranean coast.
Uh-huh.
All right, so it's an Arab country. That's where Arabs live. But it used to be known as basically a Christian country.
Yep.
Remember, we've talked to Bridget Gabrielle?
Yes.
Many times here on this program. Hadn't had her on in a while.
Mm.
But it was also known, Beirut was known as the Paris of the Mediterranean. I mean, it was known for its, it was a vacation spot for.
Beautiful.
A lot of Europeans,
mm-hmm.
for example. And then Hezbollah came in there and basically ran their operation inside Lebanon. And I don't think Lebanon was strong enough, and the Lebanese army or police strong enough to get rid of them.
Yep.
Right?
They actually became a political party.
Yeah.
Hezbollah.
Yeah. So they were using, Hezbollah was firing on Israel from a sovereign nation, an independent nation, Lebanon, but they were not the Lebanese.
No.
Government.
No.
So they were basically using the land of Lebanon to declare war on Israel. Well, Israel then had no choice but to fire into and go into, sometimes, Lebanon.
Yeah. So. Hezbollah, the day after Hamas, that October 7th, 2023 attack by Hamas, the Hamas massacre occurred, the day after Hezbollah started firing missiles from the north.
Yeah.
If Hezbollah had stepped back, Israel wasn't going to. Israel doesn't fire first.
Right, right, right.
It defends itself.
Right, right. I'll tell you what. So anyway, this is great news because I think at least for now it's great news because the shooting, the fighting, the war on the northern border of Israel will stop. Right.
Yes.
And I think Israel's already they've already brought Hamas down to in Gaza. You just haven't heard much from them at all.
No.
Especially since their leader was killed, 3 weeks ago? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And Israel has caught up with all these Hamas leaders and taken them out. And there's just, there's nothing. Anyway, I think this is going to bring peace to Israel.
Yep.
And it's going to be long lasting. That's my opinion. Well, I don't think you're going to hear any more out of Iran. Especially since President Trump is going to be in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Marco Rubio and Mike Huckabee is going to be the ambassador to Israel. So I think the worst for Israel is over.
I believe so, too.
I would agree with you based on something I observed yesterday on X. You know, things have been quiet in Israel when Fox's Trey Yingst, who is on television every time a rocket is fired, Fox's Trey Yingst yesterday was posting pictures of his vacation in Japan.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. And I thought, things really have come down. It's not just me.
Yeah. Well, it's been a hard 2 years. Year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
When was it? October. Was it October?
October of 23. Mm-hmm. October 7,
23. Yeah, well, it's been a long year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For Israel. But, I think the worst is over. The Israeli military has responded with overwhelming force, and they had to.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that they were nitpicked by Biden and Harris and a lot of international leaders, the UN, condemns anything Israel does.
Yes.
They don't condemn other parts of the world where human rights violations go on, real human rights violations go on all the time.
Yes.
Nothing about that, just about Israel. So, and now that Israel has their longtime and best friend and best ally, the United States, back.
Yes.
With the election of President Trump, then I think it's a new day there. I think.
Well, and Iran knows. Iran supplies the weapons to Hezbollah and Hamas. Iran knows Trump is coming back because of what Trump did in his first term of office.
Right.
So
and Trump is not going to. Excuse me.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Trump's not going to hand tie.
No.
Israel.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Biden tried to do.
Yes, absolutely. You know? And Iran knows that Trump means business. If he threatens Iran, more sanctions, going to shut your economy down.
Right.
So they know that there's a new sheriff coming to town, as that phrase has been used.
Yeah.
And I think it's great news for Israel.
Right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of the show. Thank you for listening, Tim, Fred, and Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
So we have a new sheriff coming to town, and the deputy sheriff that's currently in office, Vice President Kamala Harris, she made a video last night and posted it on social media, and Vice President Harris is being criticized today because she appears drunk in the video that she did and posted on social media. Yes.
Drunk?
Yes. She has been ridiculed.
Like in four beers drunk?
Probably more than that.
Oh, okay. Or hard liquor.
Yeah, I'm not judging her, but she's being criticized for appearing drunk. The audio will not do it 100% justice, but listen to her in clip one.
I just have to remind you, don't you ever let anybody take your power from you. You have the same power that you did before November 5th. And you have the same purpose that you did. And you have the same ability to engage and inspire. So don't ever let anybody or any circumstance take your power from you.
Now, to go with this, the Daily Mail, this is their headline. Kamala Harris supporters stunned by new video as internet dubs her drunk aunt at Thanksgiving.
Now, it's sad when you don't know if somebody's video is done poorly because they've been drinking or because they're just that bad naturally.
Huh? She looks bad, too.
Yeah. Why does she even do this video?
No one knows.
What we just heard.
Well, if she had been drinking, drinking does lead to poor decisions.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Is the world clamoring for a video from Kamala Harris to her supporters? I mean, didn't she do a concession speech already about 2 weeks ago?
She did. And then she went to Hawaii. She spent the last couple of weeks in Hawaii.
Maybe she got.
And she just came home to the White House, and she puts this video out.
Yeah.
I haven't read anywhere, Chris, where her staff encouraged her to do this. In fact, I think the reports are the other way.
Mm-hmm.
It almost like she decided
Did
to
she
get
set
a,
up the camera herself.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Her and Doug, Dougie.
Oh, my word.
If what Fred said is accurate, that you know her staff is upset that she did this. There were forever reports that she didn't listen to her staff. She ignored briefings, all kinds of things. So even if her staff said don't do this, Kamala, she might have said, "Oh, it's okay."
Yeah. So she. If I went to Hawaii, I wouldn't come back and do a video. I'd just come back and give everybody t-shirts, my staff here, make everybody happy.
But a serious side to this,
maybe
she is still the Vice President of the United States.
Yeah.
And Biden the other day in pardoning the turkeys at that ceremony, people were mentioning, you know, he looked lost at some point when he was going back into the Oval Office. He looked like he didn't know where he was going.
He looked like he'd had a meeting with Turkey Hill before he went out there to pardon the turkeys.
We've got 53 days, is it now, before Inauguration Day? And we need to pray that the country gets through this next 53 days without any major crisis.
Yeah. You know, this, you're right, because, well, really, since... Remember, since Biden did the debate, and the whole world then knew that he didn't know what was going on.
No,
and yet the Democrat Party said, "Hey, we're going to roll with that for the next 7 months."
Uh-huh.
Leader of the free world doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Hell yeah.
He's not. They kicked him out of. Basically, the Democrats went in and said, "You're not running. You're not going to be our candidate." So they quote kicked him to the curb.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're gonna kick somebody to the curb, then you need to remove them right then and there, because what you've said is you're not capable of being president. And yet they've said, the Democrats said, but we're going to let you be president for 7 more months.
Yeah.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
In many ways, abortion was on the ballot this past election, and there's reason for concern. There are many counties, cities, and states who have radicalized abortion, and thousands of tiny babies will continue to lose their lives every day. which is why the Ministry of Preborn is on the front lines for at-risk babies and mothers with unplanned pregnancies. Preborn sponsors clinics positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country by providing them with the resources they need to rescue babies. Preborn continues to expand their life-affirming care. Their end-of-year goal is to equip 10 more clinics with ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most clinics can afford. When a woman meets her baby on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. And when she comes to a Preborn Network clinic, she will also be embraced with God's love. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and now through a match, your gift is doubled. How many babies can you save? Please donate. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com AFR. That's preborn.com AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Before we go to Stephen McDowell is going to be with us in just a moment. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving, the history of Thanksgiving. But I do want to get back to this story. Last night I was reading where Trump has appointed
Dr. J. Bhattacharya.
I was going to let you say that.
Otherwise known as Dr. J, but not that Dr. J.
Dr. J? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
From
back in the day.
Yeah, like Duncan.
Dr. J. Bhattacharya.
The Duncan Dr. J. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, think of Dr. Fauci, the direct opposite of
right.
Dr. Fauci.
Yes.
That's who Trump just appointed.
Who Trump just appointed.
To the National Institutes of Health?
Yes.
Or National Infectious?
National Institutes of Health, or NIH.
Is that the position that Dr. Fauci held?
Yes. So basically, from fear-mongering Fauci to, okay, COVID is okay, we can get through this, Dr. J. Bhattacharya.
But this guy is he was at Stanford?
Yes, I've interviewed him for a number of years. He's been on Washington Watch.
He is well qualified.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He was just a critic of Fauci's and the way the government responded to, with all the lockdowns and shutdowns and mask up and all that, and everybody get a shot and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, Dr. J. Bhattacharya became a household name back in 2020 when he and other COVID policy critics, formed something called the Great Barrington Declaration, which Fauciists tried to cancel and ridicule because it was going against what Fauci and others wanted us to believe.
Okay, I'm not saying that Trump did this. I'm not saying this fella isn't qualified, Dr.
J. Bhattacharya.
Yes, him. And we've had him on AFR a number of times. But I would say this, to Trump trolls like nobody else.
He's a master. He's got his PhD in that.
I mean, this is like in your face to Dr. Fauci and the COVID lockdown folks.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And forced vaccination shots and all that. All that crowd right there.
Mm-hmm.
This guy really is Hitler to them.
Yes.
The guy that Trump just appointed to be the new director of the NIH. So anyway, we'll see. Does he have to be confirmed?
I don't believe so. I'll double check that.
I don't think it's a cabinet level.
But
is it?
I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
is going to
have an office just down the hall.
Yeah, they will work
He also
together.
Hates forced vaccinations.
I do have a...
Imagine if you work in that office, you work with Fauci for 2 or 3 years, now these guys are coming into town.
You know what, Trump is just saying, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to appoint whoever. I don't know who's giving him the recommendations. Don Jr. maybe, or Laura?
I think both.
They're both playing a big role.
They're giving him these names, and he's just saying,
let's go for it.
I have a comment from President-elect Trump. He says, together, Jay and RFK Jr. will restore the NIH to a gold standard of medical research as they examine the underlying causes of and solutions to America's biggest health challenges, including our crisis of chronic illnesses and disease. By the way, Bhattacharya said in March 2021, I think the lockdowns were the single biggest public health mistake.
Okay.
There you have it.
Any comment from Anthony Fauci about his new successor?
Man.
That's, huh?
Yeah, and I'm going to speculate under his breath, President-elect Trump said, take that, Fauci.
You like that, Anthony?
Oh, my word.
It's going to be huge.
Okay.
Bigly.
The left, the Democrats, when they come back, are going to say, look at all this, these names, all these people Trump's chosen. They're going to go, where do we start?
That's right.
Huh? And Matt Gaetz, of course, he took his name out. Mm-hmm. So they've got
Pam Bondi.
She was the AG in Florida for 8 years,
I think. And she has been very well received.
Yeah, she'll sail through.
Oh, yeah.
She'll sail through. So with Gaetz out of the way, I don't think any of his nominations are going to be defeated, with the possible exception of RFK Jr.
He could not make it as...
Secretary of Health and Human Services.
I'm just saying that's the one that's to me out there, and Hegseth
and Pete Hegseth.
He'll be close too. That'll be a close vote. You think
it's going to be a tough one? There are Republicans in the Senate.
Okay.
That have some concerns.
Okay, so those two guys will be, might or might not make it.
Right.
In the confirmation process. Well, we'll have to see.
Yep.
What happens there? All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Well, tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day, as we all know, and there is a history here to the idea of giving thanks to the Lord, Lord God, in our country, and the real story behind Thanksgiving. Stephen McDowell joins us. Stephen is president of the Providence Foundation. Of course, Stephen and I have been doing the Spiritual Heritage Tours for 20-plus years together, and he joins us now from Charlottesville, VA. How you doing, Stephen?
I'm doing great, Tim. Good to be with you today.
What do you think about all these Trump appointments?
Well, Abraham Lincoln, when he proclaimed what became an official day of prayer and thanksgiving, said innumerable blessings have been bestowed upon the United States of America. So that's why he set aside a day. So looks like some of these might be some of those innumerable blessings.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Okay. True. We won't go down one by one here. But anyway, it's just... It just from a comedy standpoint, it's hilarious, these appointments that Trump is making, because they're like the complete antithesis of the establishment in that particular field. What they would say. Now we'll see if whoever gets the FBI, who's going to be the Justice Department.
Pam Bondi's going to be the attorney
general. Okay, well, she needs to go in there and clean house.
And she will.
Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead, Stephen.
I must say, regarding this, one of the central biblical teachings about government is limited government. And our government has gotten way too big, spending way too much money, of course, more than it has. And anything that Trump or anyone else can do to limit the size of government is going to be good for our liberties. And certainly the founders of America, including the Pilgrims, who established Christian self-government, they understood that civil government has an important function of protecting our life, liberty, and property, but it needs to be very limited because sinful men will abuse their authority and power, and we certainly have witnessed this. So any cleaning out of big government, I am for.
Well, that's the job of Elon Musk and
Vivek
Ramaswamy. At least I say that's the job of. I think they're the ones who are going to be – I don't know what kind of authority they'll have. I think
they're going to make recommendations.
Certainly those two fellows, certainly Elon Musk knows about being regulated to death.
Yes.
All right, Stephen. So you mentioned the Pilgrims there. We'll be celebrating Thanksgiving Day all over the country tomorrow. Take us back. What was the year when we first had the Thanksgiving that we all, you know, read about and hear about? At least we did as kids back in the 1600s.
Well, we do, you know, trace our uniquely American holiday of Thanksgiving to the Pilgrims. You know, the Pilgrims came from in 1620. They were English separatists who, back in the late 1500s, early 1600s, when they lived in England, they separated from the Church of England and started their own church, which was a new concept. No one did this. They were then forced out of England. They found refuge in Holland 12 years. And then in 1620, they sailed to the new land of America. And after 66 days at sea, they had intended to settle in the north part of Virginia, but were providentially blown hundreds of miles north of their intended destination. So they couldn't sail south due to the weather. The captain said, "You guys are getting off right here." They looked around and they found a spot, which is today Plymouth, Massachusetts. And that's where they started their first settlement. It was December 1620 when they began to construct their new settlement. And it was very difficult first winter. In fact, half their number died that first winter due to the sickness and disease and lack of food. And so it was providentially kind of the spring of 1621 that God brought to them Squanto. He was an Indian that was part of the Patuxent Indians who their tribe had actually lived right where Plymouth was, where they started their colony. But around 1617, there was a plague that wiped all these out except for Squanto, because he had been 1605. He'd been carried off to England, lived there and learned English for about 9 years, came back in 1614. With Captain John Smith, and then not long after that was taken captive again and sold as a slave in Spain. But some monks bought him providentially and set him free. He found his way back to England and came back in 1619 and found all his tribe had been wiped out. So he joined to a nearby tribe. But then when he heard that these English, who he knew because he had lived in English, he knew the English people, when they had come and settled in the tribe where the place where his tribe used to live, he came and felt, "Hey, I need to take care of these guys." And he took them under his wing. He taught them how to catch fish and plant corn with fish and many things that was essential for their survival. In fact, their governor, William Bradford, called him a special instrument sent of God for their good beyond their expectation. And he also helped them to have a peace treaty with the Indians, with Massasoit, their chief, and others. So it was that fall, after they had survived this extremely difficult first year, that they had an ample supply, where they said, "We want to set aside a day to give thanks to God. He's delivered us and set us up in this new land to start a new colony. He sent Native Americans to help us survive in the new land. And so we're going to set aside a day of thanksgiving to God." And they invited Massasoit to come and celebrate with them. I think 90 Indians came with Massasoit, and they had 3 days of feasting and playing games and doing all kinds of things to give thanks to God for him watching over their life. So this is kind of the tradition of our first American Thanksgiving. And of course, they feasted as well as they could that first Thanksgiving. That's why we feast today at Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, while most Americans feast, they fail to understand that the Pilgrims did, because they looked to God when they had plenty and when they had little and said, "We want to give thanks to God. He's watched over us, protected us, provided for us." And that began what was regularly observed by the Pilgrims, later by the Puritans, by others that came. We had hundreds and hundreds of days of prayer and thanksgiving that the colonial Americans observed, because they recognized without God we never would have made it. So that's the beginning of that. And, you know, when George Washington was first elected our president in 1789, early on that first fall in November of 1789, he set aside November 26th as a day of thanksgiving and prayer. And most every president after that did that. When Lincoln was president, it became an official holiday in 1863, but it had been governments that proclaimed days of prayer and thanksgiving literally over 1,000 times or more in the first few centuries.
So Thanksgiving Day, as we know it, which is it the last Thursday in November?
It's the fourth Thursday,
The fourth Thursday in November, which is almost always the last Thursday in November. So it's been that way since Lincoln, or do you know the answer to that?
Well, officially since Lincoln, but as I mentioned, our first president, George Washington,
right,
at the recommendation of both houses of Congress, he set aside November 26, which was a Thursday, 1789, because as I mentioned, civil governments had been proclaiming days of prayer and thanksgiving and prayer and fasting from the very beginning, before the Pilgrims, even the Jamestown settlers did it in 1619 at Berkeley Plantation. But they did it all the time. They had a day of prayer and fasting and a prayer and thanksgiving at least once a year. And in Tuesdays and Thursdays, for kind of historically, that had been a day that they had chosen to do that. So Washington did it. Most every president since Washington, from between Washington and Lincoln, did as well. But Lincoln made it an official. So, okay, officially, as a nation, we're going to do this every year. So it became official under Lincoln, but had been done since our beginning.
All right, Stephen, if people want to read more about this, and you've got so much, so many resources, books and videos and all kinds of things on early American history in particular, how do people do that?
Well, you go to our website, providencefoundation.com. I do have an article, Why We Celebrate Thanksgiving. So go there and Google it, and you can take it and read that tomorrow as you sit around. It's a short little article that recounts this story. And then we have lots of books and materials and videos that you can get at our website, providencefoundation.com. But be sure to get that free article to remind yourself why we celebrate Thanksgiving. That's the name of it.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. You're not expected to be appointed to any position in the Trump administration, right? Like Secretary of History, maybe?
Well, it'd be nice, but I don't think I get confirmed. I've read too many controversial things.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. Take care. See ya.
All right. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
He might actually get through confirmation, because something I've learned about senators is that they vote for things they didn't read. So
anyway, did you know all that about Thanksgiving?
I heard the story, but you know, it, when I was listening to Stephen, it just brings back also God's providence, how he uses weather. He uses the connection of that native Indian who went to England and spent time there.
Squanto
comes back, mm-hmm. and he feels sorry for these English settlers who have just gone through this horrific winter, and he's there to help them. You know, only God can arrange that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Absolutely. By the way, Stephen McDowell, who you just heard us interview, he will be with us when we go to Boston on a tour next year, next October. Be our first ever trip to Boston, Mass, and we're going to see all the history in that
great city
and that and the surrounding area. So and of course Stephen will be going with us to Williamsburg and Washington DC and Mount Vernon and all our tours next year. So if you want information on that Boston trip, it's going to fill up pretty quick based on people already signing up,
and it's a great time of the year.
Yeah, October. So you could just go up there, and if you want to go to see the foliage,
oh,
just going up for that after our tour. So we'll see part of it during our tour. But anyway, so if you want to go to Boston with us next October, or Williamsburg in the summer, and Washington, D.C., all these tours that we do, if you want information on them, we have a new website. Just go to www.wildmangroup.com. That's W-I-L-D-M-O-N group.com. www.wildmangroup.com. And just click on the tour. You want information on Boston, Williamsburg, or Washington, D.C. You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Chris.
We had a major announcement yesterday.
Is it major, Chris?
It is, based on what I'm about to share. Walmart, the world's largest retailer, is rolling back its diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, policies, joining a growing list of major corporations that have done the same after conservatives and conservative organizations, including American Family Association, have been voicing their concerns about Walmart's policies here. Just to give you an idea of some of the stuff that Walmart has done, they're going to be getting rid of DEI policies, including a policy that Walmart had that it was they're going to do away with a 5-year commitment for an equity racial center set up in 2020 after the police involved death of George Floyd. They're also going to pull out of a prominent gay rights index. And when it comes to race or gender, Walmart says it will no longer be giving priority treatment to suppliers. I got some reaction to this from Jerry Boyer. Jerry Boyer of Boyer Research is somebody AFA partners with on investor activism. And Jerry says this is a very good thing, what Walmart has announced here. Clip 11.
It's one thing to do it with the Tractor Supply, very conservative, customer base, not a giant company. It's another thing to do it with the largest employer in America and a company that is often sometimes the largest revenue company in the world. This is much bigger. This is a real stronghold. And Walmart had gotten pretty far to the left before. So they're coming, which you wouldn't expect from an Arkansas-based company. And yet we see this over and over again. Companies that should never have gotten this far to the left get a wake-up call. So this is really big. And I think this is going to set off what they call a preference cascade. Once Walmart does it, a lot of other companies are going to do it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it goes back to the Supreme Court decision against affirmative action. These companies knew when the new sheriff comes to town, when the Trump administration comes to town, that they were going to face lawsuits on this idea of giving preference based on race, preference based on sexual orientation. They were going to face lawsuits backed up by a Trump Justice Department. So that's why a lot of these companies, plus they saw the election results too. They saw the country, the kind of the pendulum has moved back to more conservative, and they saw all of this coming.
Yeah. The DEI, what does that stand for again?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Okay. That's been around a while, but it basically just took off after the George Floyd death. And the protest around the country against the police and against racism, that's what they said, systemic racism, which I don't believe in. I don't think there's such a thing as systemic racism. Mm. Was there at one time in many parts of America? Yes, there was. But that hasn't been an issue for a long, long time. All right. Several decades. What they're trying to do with this DEI is keep the Al Sharpton view of the world alive. Mm-hmm. Basically, that's what DEI is all about, mm-hmm. and it's unnecessary, and it in itself is divisive and divided, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with people. And so, listen, we don't need all this stuff where you're trying to pit this group against that group. We just need rules for everybody to follow, people to be. You can't discriminate based on race.
Yep.
And everybody knows that now.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yep.
So who's doing it? If you're doing it, take somebody to court or report them or whatever, but people aren't participating in that kind of activity anymore. So there's no need. Basically, this diversity, equity, inclusion now is just being pushed so you can push the trans issue. Mm-hmm. That's basically all it's, you know, mm-hmm. basically all they're trying to do right today is push the trans issue on people.
And there's huge rebellion against that, as we've talked yeah. about.
And also, these corporations, as big as they may be, like Walmart, for example, they have to budget for this part of their company called DEI. Well, they may budget, you know, $10 million a year. I don't know what they budget. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To staff this office.
Yeah.
And they're looking around going, we need to make cuts. We need to make cuts because, and we're going to have to pick parts of the corporation that don't bring any value, mm-hmm. monetary value at least. And something like DEI, you go, we don't need this. Okay. Yeah. There are already laws in place about racial discrimination. They're already, we already teach our employees to be, you know, nice to one another and to customers, you know, so you don't have to stress that with, you know, videos and slideshows and all that stuff. All right. And they're all these DEI folks are almost all far lefties, mm-hmm. almost far. All of them.
Yep.
You very rarely, they don't hire conservatives
or
traditionalists, or Christians for that matter, to be a part of that. All right, so we're going to take a short time out right here, Chris. My profound thanks to
Happy
you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, yes. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Are the Dolphins playing tomorrow?
Yes, they play Green Bay. The Dolphins are 5-6 and are the first team on the outside looking into the playoff picture.
So they play tomorrow?
They play tomorrow.
Okay. The Miami Dolphins play at Green Bay?
At Green Bay.
At Green Bay. That'll be interesting. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.